Good morning. I always mess this part up, so I'm going to try to do my best to get this right at least once when I'm up here. So, God of truth, you have spoken your word to us and in us, but we have not listened to you. We have not been mindful of your presence or attentive to your voice. Have mercy on us, forgive us, and heal us. Speak your word in us now and create us anew. We open ourselves to your word. Let us now rise and pass the peace of Christ to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially our visitors. And we do have a welcome packet of information for visitors or anyone else that would like more information about our church. You can see one of the ushers, or on the narthex hanging on a shepherd's crook is a packet of information for your use. The narthex is the area right outside the sanctuary. I would ask that you please sign the registration sheets in the red folders that are located in your pew, pass it to others, and then bring it back to the center aisle. If you do have a prayer request this morning, please complete the card and put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Chris this morning. I would like to highlight a few of our announcements. We have many announcements, and I'm not going to read all of them to you, but I would like to remind you of a few. The Outreach Committee has asked that I do remind you that items for the Thanksgiving food baskets and Operation Reindeer are due today. And a great big thank you from Outreach and First Church for participation to help those in need. A reminder from Reverend Lake, our 2015 First United Methodist Church Conference is this Tuesday, November 24th, here at the church at 7 p.m., and all members are encouraged to attend, and that's a church conference when issues and other items will be voted on by the congregation. Now, a few announcements from Diane.
Right after this service, I'd ask you to stick around and help us decorate the church for the Christmas and Advent season. There will be pizza, so you won't starve. If a lot of people stay, we're usually done no later than 2 o'clock. So even if you can only stay a little bit to help, we'd appreciate all the help. Speaking of Advent, we still have room for Advent readers, Advent candle lighters. You and your family, your friends, your neighbors, your pew mates. If you would see the chart, it has been moved in the narthex. It was where the angel tree is now. Now it's right as you come up the exit door. There's a bulletin board that on an easel that has the sign up for the Advent wreath candle lighters. So if you could please see if there's a Sunday that you could do it, or Christmas Eve, please sign for that. Also, on that same bulletin board are the places to sign for pictures for the church directory. Now, if you haven't been here for a couple of weeks to hear these announcements, what we found, we thought from the witness committee, that the last time we had a directory, a lot of people did not have their pictures taken. And we got the impression it was maybe because people didn't want to go through the hassle of having to sit down and listen to Olin Mills ask you how many packages can we sell you? And they didn't want to have to go through that pressure. So basically, we have some photographers, 2 or 3 on a Sunday, each Sunday during Advent, members of our congregation, who are going to take a picture, like one and done, as long as you keep your eyes open and smile. And we'll take those pictures and put together our own directory, rather than having it made by Olin Mills. And there's quite a stack of papers because I made one, at least 2 per Sunday, sometimes 3 sheets, depending on how many photographers we have. And we're going to try to make it as quick as possible. Now, I would like to ask that if your family unit is here now and no extra people are coming in that you want to include in the picture, I would ask that you go ahead and sign up for one of these early dates so that we don't get to the Sunday before Christmas and all of a sudden 50 people want their pictures made. So if you are able to do that, that would be great. Look at the sheets, sign it up. I know it's kind of a hassle because there's a lot of days to go through, but the dates are on there. So if you know that you can only do it on the 13th of December, just look for that page. Okay? Thank you.
To dovetail a little bit into a couple of Diane's announcements, you have heard it for the last month or so, since the last time that I preached. You realize that I've been on this do something kick. It's not just a kick. It needs to be a way of life. It needs to be a way of thinking. Because nothing gets done unless you do something. You have to think about some of the things that are going on that Diane's asking for help for, or that I've asked for assistance with, or that various people have asked for help with. Do you like the Advent readings during the Advent season? Do they do anything for you? Do they mean anything to you? Well, if no one does anything, it'll be gone. It won't be here. It won't happen. The directories, the hanging of the greens. Do you love seeing the manger all decorated up here? Do you love seeing the church celebrating the birth of Christ, of Christ's coming? Does it mean something to you? Sooner or later, Fritz won't be able to put the manger up. Diane may not be able to direct how things go. Do something. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take long. It's actually pretty darn fun. We have a great time. My son actually enjoys it. He heard that we were doing it. He's going to be here after the service for it because he thinks it's a great time. Not only that, there's pizza after. Do you enjoy having a little bit of variation with your worship hosts and the pastor? Or would you rather listen to the pastor through the whole service? Because if we don't get someone to stand there and do something, it won't happen. And I don't mean to be the wet blanket on things, but we need to start looking and living differently. We often complain about all of these things that are going on with the world, that are going wrong, that are not happening. But we sit there and do nothing, nothing at all. So, even in the smallest things, helping with the greens, being an usher, helping during a baptism or during communion, it's all part of doing something.
I do have several other announcements. I'm going to ask Becky to come forward. She's representing our Nurture Committee, and while she does come here to the podium, a few housekeeping tasks. Someone perhaps might have lost a handicapped placard. It was found in our parking lot last Sunday. So it's someone here's in the church. So if you're missing your handicap placard, you can check up here after worship. And a reminder from the office staff, the office will be closed November 26th, which is this Thursday, and will reopen on Wednesday, December 2nd. And Becky?
Thanks, Tracy. Good morning. The reason I'm here is for a fun event. It is our third annual gingerbread making afternoon. It will be on December 6th from 2 to 4 down in the gym. If you are interested in building a unique decoration for your home, please sign on our sign-up sheet, and you have to pre-register for this event. We have wonderful women that have said that they are going to bake the gingerbread, and we need to know exactly how many gingerbread house kits we need to have for everyone. The only thing you need to bring that day is 2 bags of candy. We always say 3. 2, one for you to decorate, one to share, and one to eat. So, also, you need to bring a large cookie sheet, or if you have the wooden board from the last two times, you can bring that too for the base for your gingerbread house. There will be none provided, so you have to have a base to put your house on because it would be very hard to get it home if you don't. If you have any questions, please feel free to grab me or my husband, who unfortunately is not here today. He's sick. And I believe our phone number is in the bulletin. So if you have any questions, call me. I'm pretty much always home. And I thank you. It is a lot of fun, and it's not a competition, and it's so great to see how many creative people we have in the church, people we never knew were creative that are creative. And the kids love to get into the icing, and then when they get bored, they run around and play and have fun, and the adults keep going. It's hysterical. And I will be taking pictures this year, and we will hopefully be getting them on the website and in the bulletin, maybe a newsletter for you to see what we did. So thank you.
Thank you, Beck. And that is a very fun event on Sunday, December 6th. And as I mentioned, as we began our worship this morning, we do have a lot of announcements, and I will wrap up and encourage you to look at the bulletin and read it very carefully. But the Finance Committee, Laurie Chairperson, has asked me to remind you that in the parlor, the Pumpkin Patch fundraiser is going on, and that is, there's some pumpkin cookies in there I saw, and bread and some small crafts that stop by, and you can utilize all of that this week at your Thanksgiving table. And also a reminder that if you ordered Rata cutlery, those orders are available for you to pick up also in the parlor. And just a final note, in your bulletin, if you don't read anything else, read the lovely little story under Love Your Family. There are 4 children's responses, 2 3-year-olds and 2 4-year-olds, on their recipe for making a turkey. So if you don't do anything else, take a look at that. It'll put a smile on your face. And now let's turn our hearts and our minds to our worship. Thank you, Cathedral Bells, for that beautiful prelude. I would now ask that you rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. We belong to God, eternal and infinite, creator of all things and all that is to come. He heals people and transforms lives and calls us to join in his ministry. Please remain standing for our opening prayer, also printed in your bulletin. Join me with these words. Your light has filled our lives, but we have not shared it with others. You have marked us as your own in baptism, but we have not lived as your faithful people. You have called us to be a light to the nations, but we have hidden our light under a bushel. Transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may be about our baptism as your new creation, forgiven and made whole by your matchless love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise in your black hymnal, our faith book, Let All Things Now Living, 2008. 2008 is the page.
Are there any others coming down? That's okay. You don't have to run. We'll wait for you. So how are you girls doing today? That's good. Do we love our families? How do we show our families that we love them? How do you show your families that you love them? By giving hugs, that's right. Are there any other ways that we show our families that we love them? Do we show our families that we love them by listening to them and doing what they ask? Right. Yeah, we do. So when mom and dad say it's time to clean your room, you show your love and your respect for mom and dad by going and cleaning your room, right? And mom and dad would agree that you always go right away and do that, right? Everyone says yes. Moms, dads?
So we show our family that we love them by following their instruction and by listening to them. And sometimes we have physical ways of showing it by hugs and kisses and giving gifts, right? Sometimes flowers, or maybe you drew a little card or picture for them and gave that to them. That's a way of showing love, isn't it? That's right. And that's the way God wants us to be. And not necessarily just between children your age and their parents, but he wants us to be that way with all of our family. It's one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Honor your father and your mother so that you may have long life. Right? So, we always want to do our best and try to love our families by doing the things that we know are right and by listening to God's commandment and by loving God. And through that, we love our families. All right. Let's say a little prayer. Dear God, help us all to be better family to each other, not just to our moms and our dads, but to our sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, grandparents, our friends, our church family. Let us show your love as we love our families. Amen.
I want you to know that half of our sunshiners were sick today, but Sophie has said, I can do it myself, so we're going to let her do it.
Way to go, Sophie. Now that's the way to do something.
Sophie, that was beautiful. And if you get nothing else out of today's service, let's listen to that little child's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Exodus and also Joshua. In Exodus chapter 20, we will learn of the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them, or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And from Joshua chapter 24, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the god your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And here ends Joshua's words. And I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. The King of Glory. Thank you for making Jesus Christ the light of the throne. Use our gifts today to spread the radiance of the good news so that more people will experience your heavenly realm until Christ returns in glory. All of this we ask in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. I I have a couple of prayer requests here. Are there any other prayers, joys, or concerns that the congregation wishes to share? We're going to ask for prayers for Sandra, that's Becky's mother. We're also asking for prayers for the family of James, who passed away. We're also asking prayers for Donna and family for the loss of a child. Rhonda for loss of a friend's child. Jane for healing of a shoulder. The Romali family for loss of a family pet. Are there any others? As we prepare for bringing our prayers to God, I would ask everyone to join us in today's prayer hymn, which is number 2244, People Need the Lord. And I'd like to remind everyone that the chancel rail is open. Father God in heaven, we come to you as a broken and flawed people. We gather here today to worship and praise your name, but we also bring with us things that are on our hearts, joys, concerns, uncertainties, things that just aren't quite right. We lift up the names of Sandra, but we also have other concerns and needs and joys that are on our hearts that we haven't spoken. But Lord, we know that you hear them. We know that you take each one and see to it. Personally, you don't let us fall. Lord, in this time of unrest, where nothing seems right in the country or in the world, where there are problems and things that we just feel that we can't tolerate, we ask that you guide those people that are making the decisions, that are carrying out the actions. Come into their lives. Show them your healing hand, your loving heart, and your forgiving way. Lord, we also ask that those that are providing services for us, whether it be our service members or ambulance crews or police officers or firefighters, that you keep them safe, for they willingly risk the loss of their life just so that we could live. And although they see some extremely bad situations, and although they face death themselves, we can look at them and see that that's exactly what you did for us when you sent your son to die. Dear Lord, we pray for healing in the world and within our own lives as we join together in the prayer that your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture reading listed in the bulletin for Matthew 15 is the scripture reading that I will be doing in a minute. But I want to come back a little bit to catch something that we missed. So at first I'm going to be reading from Psalm 132. O Lord, remember David and all the hardships he endured. He swore an oath to the Lord and made a vow to the Mighty One of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrata. We came upon it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with righteousness. May your saints sing for joy. And now from Matthew 15. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your mother and father.' And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might have otherwise received from me is now a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Today, we will be talking about the third topic in our stewardship program.
this topic is love your family. Seems pretty easy, doesn't it? We all love our family, even when we have moments when we don't like them. We do all kinds of things for them and with them. We try our best to take care of our children, making sure they are big and strong and equipped for the scary world that we live in. We want them to have everything they want. We try our best to listen to the wisdom of our elders, our mothers, our fathers, and those in authority, hopefully learning from their experiences. But we are failing. We are failing to love our family in the way that we should be loving them. So, how do we define family? Is it by blood only? Can it encompass our friends? Is it broader? Is it narrower? Sure, family is what we would describe as our siblings, our mothers, our fathers, our children, our parents' parents, and so on. But what about our really close friends? Or what about our church family? Are they family too? After all, Paul wrote that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. In my opinion, family encompasses more than just blood. It includes anyone that truly cares about you, anyone that endeavors to teach or better you for you, anyone that would put your happiness and success in front of theirs, anyone who is always there, no matter what. Of course, we all have normal families, so do I. I have a mom, my grandma, a sister, an aunt, and more families scattered throughout the country. But I also include in my family people that I served with in the Army. Some really close, long-time friends, such as Dawn, and some very close church family, like Diane, Donna, Deb, Dot. They're all family. Looking at what makes our family, we can see a little bit about what it is to love our family. We find that loving our family means that we listen and learn, that we speak and teach. We notice a nurturing atmosphere that promotes growth. Loving our families provides safety. We can see that loving our family is a two-way street. Loving our families means loving and obeying God. After all, one of the Ten Commandments is, honor your father and your mother. But what else does the Bible say about family? A little later in Exodus, it says, anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be put to death. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. From Proverbs, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. And train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. From Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it will go well, and you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And from 1 Timothy, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It is God's desire and will that we love and honor our family. So what are some of the ways that we show our love towards our families? What are the ways? Okay. You know this by now. that when I'm up here, you're going to get asked questions and you're going to be expected to answer. So what are some of the ways that we show our love towards our families? Sending cards. Hugs and kisses. How else? Saying I love you. Feed them. Care for them when they're sick. Well, we do a lot of this. We show it by helping each other, by supporting each other, by teaching each other, and by making sacrifices. We show it by hugging and kissing and holding someone's hand or giving gifts. Giving gifts is the fun one. We love to gift our loved ones. Sometimes we go out of the way to gift them. Maybe a nice dinner. Maybe some jewelry. Maybe flowers. Or a weekend trip. We love to gift. What's the best gift? What's the best gift that you can possibly imagine giving your family to show your love for them? Time? How about presence? Understanding? Acceptance? Forgiveness? These are all some of the ways that we gift our families. Unfortunately, we still fail to show the proper love to our families. Does anyone have any idea on how we fail? I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you think about that for a minute, but I'm going to ask you another question right now. What is the greatest gift that you have ever been given? Was it money? Was it love? Jesus. Some might say money, a car, a house. Well, those are all good. When we want to show our family our love, we want to give them the best gift that we possibly can. That would please God, wouldn't it? Well, when it's material, not really. The greatest gift that we have been given is new life through God's grace and salvation, through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. We fail to love our family to the fullest because we are not leading our families to accept God's gift of forgiveness and salvation. We fail because we allow our families to do their own thing. We fail because in our complacency and our apathy and through our examples of inaction, we allow our families to stray further and further from God's path. And everyone's sitting there thinking, no, we don't. We lead our family to God. We want them to have that same thing that we have that we think is so important. But it starts when our children are young. The Bible says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. It also says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Also, if someone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We are failing because to love our children to the fullest, because we have been given the greatest gift of all, yet we keep it to ourselves. We keep it to ourselves and don't pass it on in the guise of thoughts like, they have to choose for themselves. Or, I won't force something upon them that they don't want. Well, we go ahead and we tell others that it's okay. They'll come around. We make excuses for them not to follow God's commandments. But make no mistake. Jesus told us that he did not come to abolish the law, but to uphold it. The law that he was referring to are the Ten Commandments. Now, we think that we are okay and we do our best. We teach our children not to steal, not to covet, not to lie or murder. We teach our children that there is only one God and that he is very important. But we fail miserably at two of the commandments. Keep the Sabbath and have no other God before me. Big deal, right? We have all kinds of excuses. We are hungry, so we need to go out to eat after church. The school has a game or a concert or some such thing on Sunday, so we won't be at church. My child doesn't want to come, and I'm not going to argue with him or her. This is one that I struggle with. My son Jacob lives with his mom, and although I want him to be here, she won't force him to do something that he doesn't like. And I always lose that fight. We're going on vacation, and we don't have time to go to church. Or the most dangerous, my child can make their own choices. Really? Your child can make their own choices? Sure, they can choose what they want to wear or what they want to eat. They can choose who their friends are and if they want to go to the school dance or not. But do you really think that they are ready to make a choice on something as important as eternal life? In this country, we have laws that state that you have to be 16 to drive, 18 to vote, join the military, or buy cigarettes, 21 to buy alcohol or run for president. Why? Why do we set these limits? We set these limits because we do not believe that young people under certain ages are mature enough to make such decisions or to carry out such actions. Well, sure, it's important that you be mature enough and physically able to operate a motor vehicle. Sure, you need to be old enough to understand to make informed choices when you vote or when you decide to join the military or whether you want to smoke or drink. Definitely, you need to be mature enough if you want to run for an office. So why do we think that children at a young age are mature enough to make an even greater decision that affects their whole life, eternal life? Why would the Bible say that you need to train them now in the ways of the Lord so that as they get older, they will stay that path? It just stands to reason that we need to train. What's even worse is that we set forth bad examples for them, even though we don't think that they're bad. We're going on vacation, so we're not going on to church on Sunday because we don't have time. Our schedule's full. And besides, after all, we are on vacation. The kids are involved in a school function that takes place on Sunday, but if they don't show up for that Sunday practice or event, they're not on the team. Or there's a football game on Sunday that we just absolutely have to be there for. So we have only a certain amount of time to give to God. Or, hey, the pastor is not going to be there this Sunday, so we're not going. Or how about, it's summertime. Or, I have to work on Sunday. We need to bring in money for the family. We set forward the example that a relationship with God is secondary. Yet, if asked, we would tell you that that salvation and our relationship with God is the most important thing in our lives. Why is God not allowed in schools? Why isn't God preserving the Sabbath and allowing others to take away the true meaning of things such as Christmas? Why are bad things happening in this country, in this world? Why? Because we aren't loving and guiding our families the way that we should. We aren't making God and Christ's birth and crucifixion important to us and our families. It may sound harsh, but remember those times where if you wanted to go do something on the weekend when you were growing up, you had to go to church. Remember when you didn't work on Sunday and you didn't shop on Sunday because nothing was open. It was a day for family. It was a day for God. Now, it's just another day. We may sit back and say that we didn't cause the changes, and we didn't even want the changes. And that could be true. But if we just sit back and say, oh, well, that's life, we are just as guilty as those that wanted the changes. We sold our beliefs. We broke the commandments. We have placed other things ahead of God. We have allowed our families to think and believe that there are more important things. So we have not loved our family to the fullest extent that we should. We have failed. When we celebrate a baptism here, we make a commitment as a family to do certain things in that child's life. But when you look at the scriptures that are involved in a baptism, that baptism is as much for that child as it is for you. You're making the promise. I'm making the promise. We're promising for that child. When the pastor walks up and down the aisle with the newly baptized child, the choir sings a short version of Welcome the Child. It's a beautiful song. If you listen, you will hear some of what it means to love your family. Show them the truth you know life to be. And show them the love that will set their soul free. But what you don't hear is the verses that are cut out for time's sake. When you welcome the child in all that you do, you let in the one who sent me to you. Receive the gift in the name that I give. Welcome the child and live. Interesting. By loving that child and teaching and guiding that child, we are the ones that get to live. Another verse continues on, so you have conquered mountains and claimed the sea. Count not what you've done till you welcome the child. So in order to love our family to the fullest extent, we need to remember, train the child and don't get caught in the mistake of thinking of the child as just the physical child, but everyone in our family. We are all children of God. Train the child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Provide for relatives and especially immediate family, or you deny the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. If we could do these things, then we can do something and say that we love our family in the best possible way that we can. I have the baptismal font up here today as a symbol of that promise to love your family. As a symbol of you renewing your commitment to God, and by doing so, loving your family to the fullest extent. At the end of the service, I would invite everyone that wants to renew that commitment, who wants to strive to love their family to the fullest that they possibly can, by loving the Lord and following our God, to come forward, take and dip your hands in the water, wash yourself clean, and recommit yourself anew to loving your family and your God. M is not the one that is in the bulletin. If you would please turn to 2252.
and join us in song. Now, I'm going to give you a little instruction here. Your books out there only have the refrain. The choir's book has some verses. The choir is going to do the verse, and at the appropriate time, I will try to play director and bring you in on the refrain. So you will be joining us in the refrain. So if everyone would please stand and join us in our closing. God, as we prepare to go forth, come into our hearts and our souls. Fill us with your love, a love so abundant that it overflows and that we can go out and show love to our family as you have shown us. Help us instruct the family around us in your ways, so that we may all enjoy the gift of your salvation and your forgiveness. And as we leave this place, so let our light shine forth, so that man could see our good work, your good works, and glorify your name in heaven. Amen. Thank you.